Hello and welcome to Car Talk on National Public Radio with us, Click and Clack, the Tappet Brothers. And we're broadcasting this week from Barbecue Central here at the offices of Dewey, Cheatham & Howard, Car Talk Plaza.
You know, it's been a pretty good day. I've only fried about files of 9 or 10 clients. They go around, boom, just like that.
Well, anyway, all of you who have entered the Dewey, Cheatham & Howe Company Picnic Contest will be glad to know that my brother has managed, I don't know how you did it, to procure...
This was not easy.
A crucial piece of equipment for this event. After searching high and low in our fair city...
I actually had to go outside of our fair city to find this. Yes.
Well, anyway, he has managed to get his hands on an authentic dunking tank. So now he can fulfill his lifelong dream and play Dunk the Producer. Get ready, Dougie.
You know, you throw the ball and you hit the when you hit the bullseye, boom, in he goes.
Anyway, one lucky Car Talk listener is going to win an almost all-expense-paid trip for four to our fair city to attend this year's Dewey, Cheatham & Howe Company picnic. And we're going to tell you all about it later on, so make sure you don't go away. Anyway, if you want to talk about cars, we can do that too. The number is 1-800-332-9287. Hello, you're on Car Talk.
Hi, this is Julie from Indianapolis.
Julie?
Yeah.
What's up?
Well, my Honda Accord.
Uh-huh.
Yeah? What year is your accordion?
It's 88.
Yeah, what about it?
Well, it seems to attract other large objects.
Uh-huh.
And I've crunched it 3 times in about 15 months.
Yeah.
My question is, do the electrical problems ever go away? It's got like a lot of, I don't know, phantom ghost-type things under the hood.
Well, if you keep smashing it up, that will happen, you know?
Yeah.
Yeah, what these accidents that have taken place, they've been front-end accidents?
Exactly.
Oh, yeah.
About total of about $11,000.
Oh, what's your problem, Julie?
Not my problem. I hate to blame it on Indianapolis drivers, but I just seem to attract. One of them was over a stupid duck, and the duck lived, and my front end didn't.
Look, just today, I was discussing with my sister, who has the same kind of problem as you. Every car she's ever owned, somehow, it attracts things, like just like you're claiming here.
Yeah, it's a magnet.
Yeah, except that a lot of times they're things like trees.
No.
And I keep explaining to her, the trees didn't jump out in front of you. The trees are where they are. And she denies. She thinks the trees actually move around and follow her.
But you are Calamity Julie. Calamities follow you around.
I think so.
All right, so we'll accept that. But the electrical problems that you're having may, in fact, be directly related to the accidents. Oftentimes, car gets smashed up, the body gets fixed, and it gets painted and gets to look like new, except usually in an accident, pieces of metal get bent and twisted and whatever, and wires get stretched and sometimes disconnected, but not necessarily immediately.
Exactly.
Or wires get pinched between two pieces of metal, and then over a period of time, even though that pinch is removed, the wires whose insulation got worn away by the collision begin to short out and fuses blow, et cetera, et cetera.
And these things are really, really hard to find.
Exactly. I've gone through that. As a matter of fact, after the first accident, I had these weird symptoms and the car would lose complete power while I was driving.
Yeah.
No power brakes, no steering, no nothing. And they searched for about $800 worth and found it, and it cost $12 to fix it.
Well, if you have this proclivity to do this with cars...
I hope it's over.
Well, it may not be. It's probably part of your basic nature. So I would recommend that you get rid of the Accord now while you still can and go for a much larger vehicle.
Grand Wagoneer. That's my vote.
Or like a Ford Crown Victoria. Preferably like 5 or 6 years old. That way, when you have these little confrontations, so to speak, you're less likely to do damage to it because you'll destroy the car that you hit.
I got it. So this one's through. These things are just going to keep popping up.
Oh, they could. I mean, it's purely random. This is what your basic Brownian motion.
No, no, no. Bad luck comes in threes. Everyone knows that. It's in the Encyclopedia Britannica.
No. It does not. Because you never know which set of three you're working on. It comes in threes or multiples of three.
Well, if she has a four, then she knows she's working on two multiples and get rid of it. But until the fourth accident occurs, keep it.
Okay.
See ya.
Bye.
Bye-bye. 1-800-332-9287. Oh, what's that other number?
1-617-353-6350. And you thought I was asleep at the switch, didn't you?
Hello, you're on Car Talk.
My name's Mark Friedman.
Hi, Mark.
I'm from Brooklyn.
Yes.
Though I don't speak exactly like it.
You don't speak Brooklynese at all.
No, I've been trying to get the hang of it, but it's... It's a little tricky.
What's your problem?
You're a transplant or what?
I'm a transplant.
Yeah, you have to start with some crucial words. How do you say the word D-O-G?
Dog.
No.
Oh, no, come
it's
on.
It's dog.
Not dog.
Dog. Dog.
Dog.
Dog. Dog.
Okay, how do you say H-E-R?
Her.
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 Her. Yeah, you're getting it.
Yeah,
okay.
How about, one more.
And one other word you need to work on, but it's crucial.
C-O-F-F-E-E.
C-O-F-F-E-E.
Yeah.
Okay. I mean, it's really sad. I've been living here for all these years, and I really have no idea how to say it. Right?
You have no idea. All right, listen to me. Coffee.
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 Coffee. The first syllable is very important. Coffee.
Coffee.
Coffee. You got it, man.
Okay. Well, thanks for calling, Mark.
So what's on your mind?
Okay. Well, I'm calling about peace of mind, really, which I don't have at the moment.
Oh.
I have an 87 Dodge Caravan. I got it used, and it's great. But something I always do when I get into a car or that I drive a car for a while, I always want to check to make sure that that inertia reel shoulder belt
will
engage.
Yeah. Right.
And I've never gotten mine to engage. I know in my older cars, I have always done that. Somebody's told me that there's some kind of mechanism.
Wait a minute. Now, how have you attempted to do it?
Well,
by pulling on it?
I put my hand between my chest and the shoulder belt and just, jerk forward with my hand.
It won't work that way. The old style, your old car, your old 72 Dart.
Right, that's the wrong technique.
Or 73 Dart or whatever you had before this thing. Had a seatbelt that worked on a centrifugal mechanism, so you could yank on the belt and actually get it to lock up.
Yes.
This has an inertial mechanism, which basically is like a pendulum, and requires that the vehicle jerk.
Not the driver.
Right.
Okay.
And not the belt.
So the way you've got to test this thing is to slam on the brake pedal. Fortunately, this design allows you freedom of movement in the car so that you can move around even pretty quickly without engaging the belt and having it threaten to choke you as you go to change stations on the radio.
Right. So, I mean,
it's nice. It's comfortable.
Right.
But it always worried me.
And it will work. You try it. You slam into the back of a cab someday, and you'll see how well that thing works.
Yeah. Okay.
And you won't have to slam into anything.
I don't have to slam into something?
No, but you'll have to slam on the brakes pretty hard. And when you do, you'll be pleasantly surprised that it will lock up, and then you'll require a tracheotomy or something.
That I've been looking for so long.
Yeah, you've just been using the wrong testing technique.
Yes.
So slam on the pedal, and you'll see that it works. And if it doesn't work, replace it because it's important. But it will work.
It should actually engage. If you're doing like 10 miles an hour and you really hit the pedal.
You stab the pedal. Not a gentle application of pressure,
right.
But you really stab it, a panic stop.
Right.
You should feel it engage. If you don't, then something is wrong with it.
Great. Well, that will really make me feel better.
Yeah, I think so.
Okay.
Anyway, Mark, you are all set.
Okay, well, thank you very much.
Have a cup of coffee on us, and be careful with the dog.
Okay.
Bye-bye.
See ya.
Okay, bye. Thanks.
Hey, well, look, there's no puzzler answer.
It's not nice to make fun of other people's accents.
Why? Everybody makes fun of ours.
We don't have accents.
We don't, huh?
No.
We'll be right back with the answer to the puzzler after these messages. This message comes from NPR sponsor Discover. Did you know you could reduce the number of unwanted calls and emails with online privacy protection, the latest innovation from Discover? Discover will help regularly remove your personal info, like your name and address, from 10 popular people search websites that could sell your data. And they'll do it for free. Activate in the Discover app. See terms and learn more at discover.com/onlineprivacyprotection.
Anyway, there's no puzzler answer this week because we didn't have a puzzler last week. So instead, I thought you might like to know just how dedicated and devoted our listeners are. I mean, we asked people to enter this company picnic contest, and we asked them to tell us in 25 words or fewer why they wanted to come to Dewey, Cheatham & Howe Company Picnic. I mean,
I mean, I was overwhelmed by the level of devotion.
Yeah, so we wanted them to expound on why they'd want to be flown to our fair city to spend an afternoon with us, their idols. And here's some of the reinforcement that we got from our loving, devoted, dedicated
listeners.
Listeners.
Here's one. From Arlen Hagenbottom. I don't know where you are, Arlen. I have a friend I'd like to visit in Boston. If I have to go to your stupid picnic to win a prize trip, so be it.
All right.
What kind of devotion? All right. Number two. I want to attend the DCH picnic because I've always been interested in a free lunch. This is from Lawler. He's not allowed. I want to attend the Dewey Cheatham and Howe Company picnic because of all the free frequent flyer miles. What kind of devotion is this? I would like to come to the DCH picnic because I'm unemployed and could use a good meal. This is a level of devotion unparalleled.
Well, I should remind people that these are only like six letters that we got out of nine. So the other three were actually
three.
Pretty charming, but we didn't think it would be appropriate to read them on the air. Anyway, throw those six losers in the barrel. And if you haven't if you haven't entered the Dewey Cheatham and Howe Company picnic contest yet, you still have time. The deadline is June 1st.
Yes, let's not forget
June 1st, and we'll tell you how to enter very soon, so stay tuned. In the meantime...
Oh, we're going to just sort of drag them in by... Promising.
That's how you get people to listen to the whole show.
Ah,
yeah.
Okay.
Oh, you haven't figured that out yet?
Is this Sweeps Week?
Yes. 1-800-332-9287. Hello, you're on Car Talk.
Hi, this is Barbara from Cleveland, Ohio.
Hi, Barbara.
Barbara.
Hi.
Do you know that Cleveland used to have another A in it?
It did, a long time ago.
Yes, because it was founded by, as you know, your pal John Cleveland. And who spelled his name Cleveland.
And you know why they did that?
Why?
It wouldn't fit on the stamps.
It wouldn't fit on the newspaper. It wouldn't fit on the heading of the newspaper.
I see. Oh,
no kidding.
What is that paper you have out in the Cleveland?
All we have is one paper left, the Plain Dealer.
Plain Dealer,
yeah.
Right, they had too many words already, so they had to drop an A.
It used to be the Cleveland Plain Dealer.
Right.
Right. Right.
So what's up, Barbara?
I listen to your show all the time.
Oh, thanks.
And I never thought I would need your advice, but I need some good advice in a hurry.
Okay, we're ready.
Yeah.
I'm kind of caught in the middle between my boyfriend and my son on this problem.
Uh-huh.
And my boyfriend is selling a 1986 300ZX.
Yeah.
It's red. It's really hot. It's got 192,000 miles on it, though.
Oh, since 86, he's been driving, huh?
It's great. And my son wants to buy it. My son is 24 years old.
Oh.
I don't think it's a good idea.
Oh, so you think you should buy it instead?
No. Well, I think it's got too many miles on it, and I wanted some advice on it. And also something clever to tell my son to persuade him not to buy it.
Talk about the horns of a dilemma.
I am, because right now he's in a lease. He has a Nissan Maxima.
Yeah.
And he's trying to get out of his car lease, which is very expensive for him.
Oh, the son does. Your son has the lease.
Yes, he does. And he wants to get into this, and I think it's going to be
a disaster.
A headache.
Well, but he's certainly beyond the age of reason here. I mean, he's
beyond the age of reason.
He's in the range.
Oh, no, he may be beyond.
He may be beyond.
I like that. There is a band.
Yes.
The age of reason. Latitude. Yeah.
Yeah. He may be beyond
it. I always end up having to help him out, you know, if something's wrong.
Yeah.
Why? He's 24. I mean, you don't have to help him out anymore.
Boy, Barbara, if I were you, I would walk away from this.
You would.
I mean, how can you possibly win?
I mean, how many miles can you get out of an engine?
Well,
let's forget about that. It's got nothing to do with that. The engine is garbage. We know that. The car's going to fall apart. But, I mean, can you, in good faith... tell your son not to buy it from your sleazy boyfriend who will never get rid of it no matter what happens?
He's not sleazy.
Oh.
How much does he want for this? This is an important question.
Oh, he only wants like $2,500 for it.
Only.
Only.
Only. Well, I mean, you say the car is beautiful, so it's in nice shape.
Well, it has just a little rust starting to come through on the wheel wells, but otherwise it's really beautiful when it drives by. Fast, you know.
Well, so my car is beautiful when it drives by fast.
Wrong.
The trouble is, I can't go fast enough anymore.
No, when you blur garbage, it's still garbage.
No, I mean, you're absolutely right to be concerned about any car that's got 192,000 miles on it. I don't care if it's a Mercedes diesel.
Even though it was taken care of.
Well, I mean, 192,000 miles is a pile of
miles. I'm not
miles.
Fazed by that one bit. If it's lasted this long, it has passed the test of time, it'll easily go to 400,000.
No, he's dreaming. I mean, what's been done
we
to it?
We don't want to know. The list is too long. We're almost out of time. We haven't got enough time to talk about what's been done to the car.
No, I mean, has the engine ever been rebuilt, for example?
No.
No.
Of course not.
Well, it's about to.
Yeah, well,
I mean, let's face it. I mean, your son... is definitely taking a chance buying a car with 192,000 miles on it. Right. So if he thinks he's going to buy a car for $2,500 and he's going to have a car which affords him as many carefree miles as his Maxima that he's been driving, mm-hmm. he's nuts.
Well, that's what I think.
Well, Barbara,
but how can you tell him this? Well,
you have already, and it didn't sink in. He's thick.
I didn't have him listen to the show.
No, I see. You were hoping that we would both agree with you.
Yes.
And you would use us as a wedge between your son and this car that he's obviously
in love with.
Well, I'm sorry to disappoint you, but I have to agree with your son. He should buy it. When you're young and footloose and fancy-free, it's probably the only time in your life that you can do stuff that's really stupid.
No. If poor Barbara were going to be the innocent bystander,
she is
going to
be.
She is like hell. When this car breaks down and needs an engine rebuild, her son is going to come to mommy and say, lend me $2,000 so I can have the engine rebuilt.
Well, you can do that as long as you're charging 15% interest.
No problem, actually. You turn around and borrow the money from your boyfriend.
Well, this ne'er-do-well son of yours, does he have any chance of getting a job?
He has a job. He has a very good job.
He does. So why does he need your money?
Well, he won't need Barbara's
money. He certainly doesn't need your money, and he doesn't need your permission or your blessing.
That's what he said.
He can sink.
That's what he told me.
By himself.
He's right. I would back away from this, Barbara. Turn your back. Go to see a movie. I recommend Sneakers. I saw it the other day, and it was a great movie.
Okay.
And don't get yourself in the middle of this, because you'll never win this one.
And don't lend anyone any money.
Absolutely not.
Right. In fact, lock yourself in the bathroom. See you, Barbara.
Good luck, Barbara.
Thank you.
See you later.
Bye-bye. 1-800-332-9287. Hello, you're on Car Talk.
Have you ever met a person from Cleveland that you didn't like?
I never met anyone from Cleveland.
Neither did I.
Hello, you're on Car Talk.
Hello, gentlemen.
Hi.
I've got a problem. I've got a Mazda 626. It's cream-colored.
Cream, okay.
Yeah. And I've got ants in my car.
Oh, dear.
And these are not relatives of either of my parents. These are little teeny ones.
First of all, more important than anything, we need to know to whom we are speaking.
Oh, my name is Randy.
Randy, where are you from?
Well, I'm in the moment in Green Bay, Wisconsin, but normally out in sunny San Diego.
So you in the witness protection program or something?
No, he's visiting his girlfriend.
Actually visiting my family. Got a little bit of surgery that my mother needs to be done.
And you want to be with her.
Exactly.
What
good
a
for
guy.
You.
What
and a... in the meantime, they infested your car with ants.
Exactly.
In Green Bay.
Well, the car is actually out in San Diego. When I get back, I'd like to learn how to perform an antectomy.
The car has San Diego ants.
When were you first aware of this infestation? I mean, how did it manifest itself? Did they, like, crawl into your jockey shorts or what?
Well, close. It was about 3 weeks ago on a dark and stormy night. I was getting ready to drive away, and I noticed ants down around the shifter level.
Exactly. I was going to suggest that they were coming in through the shifter.
Your ESP is right on target.
Well, you know why the ants have come. I'm just going to guess because I don't know anything about anything, but I would guess you've had a lot of rain in your area.
More than twice the amount of normal rain.
That will
Sherlock.
I mean, ants live where?
Ants live, I don't know. Where they
underground.
Live. They live in his car
Unless they can't live underground because it's what? Flooded.
I would think so.
So the ants have sought higher ground,
and they went a little overboard.
It's a little known fact, but they like cream-colored Mazdas.
Ah.
Mm.
So they have worked their way up the tires under the underside of your chassis, and they found the one opening, which is probably a torn shifter boot, and they have wound up inside your car. Now, they'll stay there in the absence of food because they can import food. They'll send for takeout.
Well, that's what they always do. Right. That's how they operate. I mean, everything's takeout.
So you've got to hope that the water subsides and the ants will go back to where nature intended them to be.
Well, about 3 weeks ago, I took them on a 2-hour ride in my car, and they mysteriously vanished after that. And I think the car heated up to the point where they all bailed out.
Yeah, they may have. Ants don't like heat, maybe.
But now they've come back again, and I was wondering, should I take them on another? I could drive out to the desert.
Well, I mean, you took them on a couple of hour ride, but I don't think they really disappeared.
Okay.
And I don't think this is a new colony of ants which has arrived. It's probably the same guys. They were just hiding.
Yeah.
Maybe did you check the back? Maybe they were just looking out the back window. Did you take them someplace interesting? Disney World?
Well, I found them under the hood, in addition to the shifter lever.
Ah.
But not in the trunk yet, no.
Well, the truth is, I don't know any nice way of getting rid of them.
Okay.
Because unless you're willing to have the patience to wait for them to find their way back to the ground.
Right, and swat them one at a time as they make their retreat. But to the best of my knowledge, there's no protective society for ants. I don't think anyone would really say anything
about... What do you think SPCA stands for? Society for the Protection of Cruelty to Ants.
Prevention. Society for the Prevention of...
What did I say?
Protection.
Oh, for the prevention...
I contend that there should be a Society for the Protection of Cruelty to Ants.
No, it's the Society for the Prevention of Cruelty to Ants. And besides, ants are pretty nice little guys. I don't think you should try to destroy them in any way. It's unlikely they're going to hurt you.
Diazinon.
That would work.
Diazinon works great on ants.
No, it's cruel. There's no reason
to... up into the mountains and then just kind of freezing them out.
No, I tell you, ants are pretty tough customers. You know, the only tried and true remedy is to set your car on fire. That will get rid of them.
That
maybe.
That will get rid of them.
And they'll go into your house.
Unless they're fire ants.
Well, what year is the Mazda?
Oh, it's an old one.
How old?
81.
Set it on fire.
No, you need to spray.
Okay.
Yeah, either that or put a lot of those ant traps in there. It'll be a good conversation starter.
Well, where would I put them? On the ball joints and...
No, I would probably put them in the car. Once they realize that the interior of the car is inhospitable,
okay,
they will leave.
Well, do the ant traps kill them, though? That's not nice. I don't see any reason to kill the little guys.
Well,
they're not bothering anybody.
They're bothering Randy.
Why?
Because they're going to start crawling up in his shorts soon.
They're keeping him company. He takes those long rides into the desert, and he's got 700 or 800 little guys keeping him company.
Diazinon. See you, Randy.
Good luck.
Thanks a lot.
All right. Bye-bye.
Bye-bye.
More calls coming right up after these messages.
Back. You're listening to Car Talk. Woo! On National Public Radio with us, Click and Clack, the Tappet Brothers. We're here to answer your questions, of course, about cars and car repair and charcoal briquettes. You know,
this is the time for it. This is it.
This is indeed barbecue season. And instead of a puzzle this week, we're having a different kind of a contest. Aren't we?
Yeah, we are.
Just like the puzzle, you don't have to know anything to enter because it doesn't really matter. But you're going to have to write some things down, so get a pencil. Right? It's very important.
As Mrs. Cohn said, get a pencil.
You want to participate in this, or should I just explain everything as I usually do?
And I'll just correct you as you go along.
Okay. Well, every year at the end of June, well, starting this year anyway,
yeah,
our world-famous law firm of Dewey, Cheatham & Howe has a company picnic. And this year, we've decided to invite our listeners, which we haven't done before.
Because we never had the picnic before.
Or listeners, for that matter.
Or listeners.
Anyway, the picnic is scheduled for Saturday, June 26th.
If you had a pencil, that would be something to write down.
Important date.
June 26th.
Okay. On the campus of our alma mater, the Massachusetts Institute of Transmissions.
MIT.
Here in our fair city. And one lucky listener is going to win an almost all-expense-paid trip to Boston for that weekend to attend.
Well, this picnic really is shaping up quite nicely, now that we have the dunk tank.
Oh, yeah. The drunk tank, the dunk tank.
It's called the dunk tank, which is good for Dewey, Cheatham & Howe because he's always in the dunk tank, right? We're going to start by playing Dunk the Producer.
Yeah.
How about Dunk the Chumps? We can do that. We can both sit on the thing at the same time.
And we can play Dunk Bugsy.
Ooh. No, we got something named for him already.
Oh, yes, we do.
You'll
see. We'll get to that in a minute.
Because the games at the picnic are all named after people on the staff.
Yeah, for example, we have a game name for our chief legal counsel of Huey Lewis Dewey, known around the office, of course, as Huey Louie Dewey. And it's the Huey Louie Dewey Ambulance Chaser Bumper Splat. It's actually this thing called a Velcro jump, where you dress up in a Velcro suit and jump off a little trampoline, and you stick to a wall of Velcro. And this is supposed to reproduce in some way the experience that Huey Louie Dewey has when he's chasing an ambulance, trying to get, you know, trying to draw up some legal work.
That's how he gets.
And that ambulance happens to stop short for one reason or another. And
bingo, splat, he goes. That's why.
So you'll get to know how he feels when you put on the Velcro suit and go splat against the wall in the Huey Louie Dewey ambulance. And if he dies in the meantime, it'll be the Huey Louie Dewey Memorial Bumper Splat, right? So if he's still kicking, the memorial will be
We also
omitted.
Have the Tappet Brothers Capital Depreciation coin toss. As everyone knows, the Tappet Brothers have, we have a capital depreciation fund which guarantees a 50% return of your money.
Yeah, so I wanted to change this, by the way, because I don't think, with the event being only one day, that we'll be able to fleece, we'll be able to service enough clients with the coin toss. It has to be the wallet toss, I think.
The wallet! You throw the whole wallet
in. Your whole wallet in.
Well, the capital depreciation fund, you invest money with us. I mean, this is separate from the picnic.
Right.
But people invest money in the capital depreciation fund, and we return 50% of it. I think that's pretty good. So you give us $100, we give you back 50.
Yeah, we'll have a booth set up there in case there are people that are anxious to invest.
Yeah, just like when you walk in Sears Roebuck if you want to invest in whatever.
Yeah, Dean Witter is right there. You know.
Exactly right.
Right.
Anyway, the way this
works... We have Dimwitter.
Dimwitter. We can set it up. The way the game works is you throw quarters and you try to get them to land inside a target. And if you win, you get half the money back.
What a deal.
Les Ismore is in charge. He personally will be manning this little game.
Absolutely. And then we have things like the Rickshaw Wheelbarrow Race, named after, of course, our transportation coordinator, Rickshaw. We have our annual softball game between Murky Research and the Hate Mail Division.
And don't forget, Mr. Gigi, our fashion consultant, is going to be very busy at the Mr. Gigi Radio Wardrobe Playhouse. He's the one who does all the stuff. We have wardrobes and faces made for radio, and he's going to do face painting for the kids.
Okay. Correct. And now, then, let's get to the really important stuff.
Oh, yeah.
There's the Doug more? Lavoisier Sac du Gaz Berman Relay Race. As you may know, Lavoisier not only discovered oxygen and was guillotined by Robespierre, but he also invented... the sac du gaz.
Known in this country.
As the whoopee cushion.
As the whoopee cushion, right.
And the sac du gaz relay race will involve a certain amount of, shall we say, inflating and deflating. And there's certainly going to be a big stink about this game. I can tell you that.
And don't forget the big barbecue, which is going to be called what? The John Bugsy Lawler free lunch.
Anyway, we are offering one listener and three guests of his or her choosing round trip airfare to Boston.
Woo!
Accommodations for the weekend of June 26th and 27th.
What, at your house? Staying at your house.
Wherever. And chauffeur service to the picnic and my brother's 63 Dodge Dart, if he manages to get it running between now and then. If not, you can help push.
That's
so if you want to enter the Dewey Cheatham and Howe Company Picnic Contest, here's all you have to do.
Get the pencil.
Send us a postcard with your name.
Yeah.
Your address.
Yeah.
All of your phone numbers, home, work, car, boat, Humvee, wherever you happen to be. The station you listen to. And tell us in fewer than 26 words why you want to attend the Dewey, Cheatham & Howe Company Picnic. You got that?
Yeah.
Now, are you ready to take a call?
I've been ready for 15 minutes.
You have?
Yeah.
So what have you been doing? 1-800-332-9287. Hello, you're on Car Talk.
Yes, my name is M.C. Dobbs, and I'm calling from Talladega, Alabama.
N.C. or M.C.?
M.C.
M.C. Like Dobbs.
Like Hammer, M.C. Hammer.
Right.
All right.
Yeah.
Now, I'm always interested in people that use initials for first names.
Well, if you knew my first name, you'd understand why.
Well, that's what we want to know.
Okay, it's actually Myron.
Myron.
Yeah. Myron.
Well, I like Myron, actually.
It doesn't do well in Alabama, though.
Could be, right. It's not an Alabama-type name.
No, MC is, though.
MC.
Southerners always use initials.
Right.
Yeah. I like initials, yeah. Sure, okay. Well,
I like MC.
I like Myron. All right, Myron, what's on your mind?
Okay. Well, I have got a 93 Suburban, Chevrolet Suburban.
Yeah.
And the problem I'm having with it is that at low speeds, like at 35, 30, round town speeds.
Yeah.
Over the city streets and whatever, it sounds like either the spare tire carrier or a muffler is loose. There's this horrible clunk, clunk, clunk in the back. And I've taken it back to the dealer, and he listened to it, and when they tightened up the exhaust, in fact, he aligned the exhaust, whatever that is.
Okay.
And finally, after the last time I went, he said, well, the reason you're hearing that is because you've got a half-floating or semi-floating rear end and not a full-floating rear end. I didn't know where I should be offended or not.
No kidding.
It's bad enough that when I have passengers in the Suburban, you know, they're going, "Ooh, what's loose under here?" You know, and it's like you hear this clunk, clunk, clunk. It's kind of a dull, thunking sound.
Is it worse when there are passengers in there?
It does it all the time.
Does it all the time, and it doesn't increase in intensity
no,
when
no,
it has
no
passengers.
Difference. makes no difference. I thought of that. I put a bunch of kids back there and everything and
yeah.
made them shut up and said, let's ride around.
Uh-huh.
It doesn't make any difference no matter what the load is. The big thing is once you get out on the interstate or the highway, you don't hear it. But in around town, it's just constant.
Well, I've experienced the same noise in pickup trucks. And this is basically the same chassis as the pickup
right.
truck.
Uh-huh.
And you have leaf springs in the back.
Uh-huh.
And I'd be willing to bet that it's the leaf springs that are making the noise.
Okay.
And, in fact, I have a friend that has a full-size Chevy pickup truck, and his made the same noise and went back to the dealer and complained. And their answer, of course, was the classic, they all do that.
Right. That's exactly what I got.
You
yeah.
got that, too.
They're supposed
right.
to have that clunking
yeah,
sound.
Right. They must have intended...
You can hear it more because it's enclosed and it's not a pickup truck, but all of them do that.
Yeah, they must have intended the same seminar, these service managers, so they all got the same answer.
Yeah. I like the springs idea.
Yeah, where's the spare tire mounted in this thing? Is it underneath?
It's mounted inside. It's up, you know.
Oh, that's right. That's right. It's mounted yeah. inside. Yeah.
Yeah, but
the first thing I thought of, it sounded like the spare tire carrier was loose under there or something, you know. And I checked that out, and I pulled a little cover off to make sure nothing was loose in the tire compartment, and it's all tightened in good, you know.
Mm-hmm.
So it's definitely coming from underneath.
And
somewhere.
Is it both sides of the underneath? I mean, can you
it's all over.
It's all over.
Oh, yeah. You definitely, if you took a ride in it, you would say, ooh, what's coming out from underneath this thing, you know.
Okay, the first thing you must do, MC, is you must drive at least two more Suburbans.
Okay.
To, in fact, corroborate, perhaps, that they all do this.
They all do that.
and maybe they do. I'll tell you, I haven't driven a 93 Suburban. Well, I did drive a 93 Suburban, as a matter of fact.
Yes, you
and
did.
I don't recall that it did this.
I certainly don't recall. I drove a 93 Suburban, and the one we drove did not do this.
So here's what you do. You call this Ding-a-ling's bluff. Say, okay, pal, let's go out into the lot. And let's throw a plate on another Suburban. Let's drive it and see if it does that.
Okay.
And if you keep driving them until you find one that doesn't, and then say, aha, this is the one I want.
Right. They don't all do it. I'll drive this one until you fix mine.
Okay.
And for the kind of money, what did you spend for this thing? About 25 grand?
Eh, a little more than that.
35. Yeah.
No, I mean, this is a lot of money.
Yeah, it is.
Yeah, no, in fact, these are a ripoff. I mean, I don't mind saying so. The truth is, it's a pickup truck with a couple of seats. I mean, how much can the seats cost? $1,000?
Yeah.
No, it's got a roof, too. This is not a ripoff. This is a... There is no other vehicle
like
a Suburban.
They make more money.
There's nothing that compares to a Suburban. If you want a Suburban...
Yeah, right.
Nothing else will
right.
satisfy.
And I wouldn't settle for the explanation that they all do this. I would really ask to drive another one. My guess is there's something wrong with the springs, and if they have to replace the springs and the shackles and the U-bolts, tell them to do it.
Okay.
For the kind of money you spend for this thing, you want it to be quiet.
That's
right.
Damn it.
Like.
It's unconscionable of them to not make you happy. Tell them you'll never buy another Chevy product again. You're going to start buying prisms. And
oh,
they don't care, huh?
No, don't tell them that until after they refuse to fix it.
Oh, okay.
Good luck.
Okay, thanks a lot.
Thanks for your call. Okay, bye-bye.
You know, every call that we get, my car does the same thing.
Your car does everything.
My car does everything.
Well, one more hour of your precious youth has been frittered away listening to Car Talk. Our producer is Doug Lavoisier, Sakudugas Berman. Our associate producer and dean of the College of Auto Musicology is Ken Babyface Rogers. Our engineer and assistant producer is Jennifer Jiffy Loeb. Our technical advisor is the 40-year and 5-week-old John Bugsy Sebastian, Mr. Height, Sweet Cheeks, Free Lunch, Lawler. Did I miss any?
No, you're fine.
Is he here this week?
Oh, he's always here. In spirit or in body, somehow.
Our public opinion pollster is Paul Murky of Murky Research. Our automotive medical researcher is Dr. Denton Fender. Our communications director is, of course, George Day on top of this. Our secretary of pain relief is Les Aspirin. Our director of programming is Sumner Reruns. Our staff disciplinarian is Les Stern. Our head of security is Barb Dwyer. Our director of long-range strategic planning is Kay Sarah, who's married to Frank Sarah, and now her driver's license says Kay Sarah. Sarah. Our staff, by all means, our staff geneticist is Dr. Gene Poole. Our transportation coordinator is Rick Shaw. And the chairman of our math department is Horatio Algebra. Mr. Gigi, of course, does our hair. He's been on sabbatical. He's been in Rome, actually learning the latest styles.
Yeah.
And last and least, our chief counsel from the law firm of Dewey, Cheatham & Howe is U. Louis Dewey, known to the other bums in Harvard Square as Huey Louie Dewey. We're Click and Clack, the Tappet Brothers. Thanks for listening, but don't drive like my brother.
Don't drive like my brother.
See you next week. Bye-bye. Car Talk is a production of Dewey, Cheatham & Howe and WBUR in Boston.
And although George Foster Peabody would roll over in his grave if he heard us say it, this is NPR, National Public Radio.